Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome to this Wednesday night meeting. Did you enjoy the praise and worship?
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord a big, big hand. Amen. The Lord is worthy of our praise. Amen. He's worthy of our adoration. Before I start with tonight's message, I would like to give an opportunity for somebody to come and share a testimony. I'm going to invite forward a brother and a sister. Grace and Mark, would you mind joining us here? And then Mark or Eugene, would you just get us both microphones, if you don't mind, please? Thank you. All right. Guys, I would like to introduce you to a young man by the name of Mark and a young lady by the name of Grace. But you could probably figure that out for yourselves, eh? All right. Guys, come stand here for us. I don't know how long the cords are. No, you don't have to stand on top. Just there is fine. There is fine. That's it. Good. All right. Let's. Would you mind just both greeting the people so we can just get the level of the microphones right?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm Grace.
All right. Good stuff. Now, the reason why I have these two up here is because the Lord has done something profoundly awesome in both of their lives. And we would like to share with you what the Lord has done so that it can also help you to be able to trust God to do the seemingly impossible in your life and in the life of your loved ones. Now, Grace, I'm going to start with you. How long have you been coming to these meetings?
Probably a month and 2 weeks now.
A month and 2 weeks now. And what would you say? What has happened and what has changed in your life since you started coming here?
A lot has changed.
A lot has changed. Give them some idea.
I used to be. I'm a very quiet person, and I. Used
no,
to
you
be,
lie, huh?
I am.
But you've never been quiet, yeah? Huh?
I am.
Oh, you are.
I'm very shy too. I used to be, but now I'm not.
She used to be. Okay, good.
Yeah, I used to be, and I used to have a lot of doubt and fear and what if, and I used to suffer through lust. It was unbearable.
Wow.
Very unbearable. So the first day I came here, I told Rian and we prayed for the demon of lust and it came out. And since that day, my life changed forever.
Forever. Amen. Because God doesn't do it half, eh? He does a full job. Amen. All right, so you came here. How did you come here? How did you know of these meetings?
I came through a colleague of mine, Sanette.
Oh.
Eugene's wife.
Okay.
We worked together. And also a friend of mine, Lucille. So they gave me your CDs and I started listening to them. And everything started making sense. And I
okay.
started basically saying, wow, I've got chokos in my life.
You've got chokos. Wow. Okay. Good.
Tell us the moment you find out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And it was wonderful. And my life changed forever. And people at work were like, wow, you've changed. What's happened to you?
So what you're saying is that God changed you, but in such a way that everybody around you could immediately see the change.
Amen.
How many of you know that that's real change?
Amen.
Amen? That's real change. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. All right, so to make a long story short, you came here and then you say you had some chokos. So did the Lord zap them with some doom or?
Yes.
Or some Holy Spirit?
Definitely.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit works much better than you, I promise you.
It did.
Yeah, you know, I've got this vision of this woman that reckons her husband, the chain smoking must be a demon, and she runs up there and she's got the doom and she's trying to sort out. It's not going to work, all right? It won't work. It won't work. Only the Holy Spirit.
And to my surprise, you know, the Lord took out the demon of lust, and I started feeling the Holy Spirit. And I was like, what are these vibrations all over my body?
All right, let's do it this way. Tell the people when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon you. Tell them what you felt, what you experienced, and what happened.
It was the day when you were praying for everybody for a breakthrough.
A breakthrough. We were praying for a breakthrough, all right?
And I fell on the floor, and all of a sudden, I just said to God that, God, I just want to be your vessel. Just use me in any way that you want. May your will be done, not mine.
Amen.
And the moment I had that and I started taking out things, pulling out things, it was like my hand was directing me.
The Holy Spirit was directing you.
And God was telling me, okay, take out this, pull this, pull here. And I was lying down on the floor.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden I hear a voice and say, here, I need to get to put them in your heart. I just did that. And I didn't know what were those gifts. And I just put them in my heart. And I woke up. And I went home. When I got home, I was getting ready to sleep. And I just started laughing out of nowhere. Feeling this joy.
And wait. Tell the people what time of the morning that was.
It was at 1:30.
1:30.
And I was like, I wanted to sleep and I was like, Holy Spirit, I have to go to work tomorrow. And he's like, I'll give you energy. And I'm like, okay. And I started laughing. And actually, I never slept that night.
Wow.
I started anointing the house with oil. It was basically, the Holy Spirit was directing me what to do. And I was just rebuking all these demons in the house.
Oh.
And next thing, now I have to take a shower. Now I have to go to work. But instead of going to work, I go to my older brother's place. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts touching his heart and speaking to him. And he starts crying.
I'm not the older brother.
He's not my older brother, friend, yeah. And he started crying, and I started anointing his place. And then he was like, wow, you just answered all my prayers. And I was like, wow, that was the Holy Spirit. It's definitely not me. The person you see today is not me. I don't know what happened.
Tell me something. Before the Lord touched your life and before the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit came into your life, could you do these things?
No.
Could you go to your brother and say, I want to pray for you. I want to anoint your house. I want to bless you. Could you ever do that? No. One of the first things that happens when the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody is a release of boldness and of godly power. And you know what? The Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. You cannot be a witness for Jesus Christ in your own strength. That's why so many people say, I can't talk about God. I don't put me in front of people. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it changes because it is His power working through you. Right now, I want to go somewhere else. That one, I can't remember which night it was. You came to us, or you came to me, and you brought some papers with. And you said to me that they belong to your brother. Tell the people what you asked us to pray.
Okay, what happened is I went to his place and I started rebuking demons and anointing his place. And demons started manifesting out of him when I was there. And
that was the night, which night? The second night?
It was the first
day. Thursday. Oh, all right. Okay.
The afternoon. And he started opening up and he said, you know, can you please just give Rian those pictures?
Okay.
And he gave me the pictures, and I came here, and I said to Rian, this is, I don't know my brother anymore. I'm used to him drawing lovely pictures. I don't know what happened, but this
All right.
is what he's drawing
Eddie,
now.
Eddie, put the pictures on there that the people can see what they brought for us. All right. Mark, now maybe you can talk to us. There is a picture of a man that seems to be in either anger or anguish or agony, and there seems to be a demon or something sitting right in his heart. Yeah. Explain to us what you were feeling.
It wasn't too long ago, in fact. When I drew this picture, I was trying to express what was going through in my life at the time. And because I'm a man that was not used to expressing my feelings verbally, I could only express it through pictures. But then, also when I express it verbally, I couldn't feel like no one was listening to me. So this is what I drew. This picture was a man. That was me, in fact. I represented myself. And I felt something that's binding me, that's making me feel pain, I'm in anguish, I'm tortured.
Eugene.
This is a picture
so that I'm speaking out. Hello, is my sock. Is it? And okay, many worry.
Pain was immense. And the depression came with it. Started all this year. The depression was immense. Suicidal thoughts. You can't imagine what was going through my life. Because I was the type of person that didn't want to read the Bible. That actually went out of my way to disprove the Bible. went out of my way to prove the Lord.
All right, stop right there. That was then.
That was then.
What has happened now? Now, do you believe that it is the Word of God?
Beyond belief.
The only Word of God.
Beyond belief.
And do you believe that Jesus is the only way to God?
Right,
amen.
Right,
I wish you could have seen him on Wednesday night last week. This man was jumping up and down, and he was dancing, and he was praising God, and it was just something amazing. Now, you heard from his own mouth that 2 weeks ago, he did not believe in God, he didn't want anything to do with God, and he was antagonistic. I remember when his sister gave me the... You will see some of the other sketches now. When she gave me the sketches, she said to me she's very worried about her brother because he does not believe in God anymore. He rebels against God. And when she tries to speak to him about God, he gets angry and he gets violent and he just does not want to listen. Now, I'm going to show them another picture. Go on to the next one for me. All right. You're a very good artist. You are really good. But I believe that the Lord will now use your gift to do much better work than what you have done there. To glorify his name. Now you trust him for that because I believe it'll come. Now tell us what did that symbolize to you?
This actually was I drew five pictures in Allen Hall and it was a pot story.
Alright.
But when I drew it, I didn't know what I was drawing. I was just drawing.
Alright.
I didn't realize until my sister came to you and showed me spiritually what is going through this picture.
Okay.
And you see, and I realized when I could see myself what was going through this picture, when I was saved by the Lord through you and my sister, I realized that I'm that man there, and I'm surrendering to death. It's as if death take me, Satan take me.
You actually wanted to die at one stage.
That's what's happening.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's one last one. Show us the last one quickly.
Yeah.
All right, what was that?
Yeah, this the problem is that I go to an art school.
Yeah.
I'm in university, but I go to an art school.
All right.
So there's a program called creative development where you have to draw, you have to be artsy, you have to do art stuff. So they tell you to draw. So sometimes you don't know what you're drawing. Then this came out when I drew it. Even I was shocked at the paper.
It just came out.
It just...
So would you say that it was probably something that was inside of you that was expressing itself and not you expressing yourself?
Yeah.
Oh,
like that, yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Now, your sister came... She showed us these pictures and she said, please, my brother needs help. And I asked everybody that was here, I said, everybody stretch out your hands towards these pictures. And we are going to claim this young man for the kingdom of God. We are going to claim him for Jesus Christ. And we are going to bind the demons that are inside of him. And everybody stretched out their hands and everybody prayed. It was that night after we prayed over these pictures. The following morning, she went to his house, and when she started praying in his house, the demons inside of him began to scream and manifest. What was happening? The anointing that God released on Wednesday night was released into him and into his house on Thursday when she walked in there and she began to pray. You know, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. The Bible says, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If she walks into his house filled with the truth, filled with Jesus Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, then the Bible says what will happen is people will be set free. Now, you did not expect that to happen, did you?
No, I did not expect it to happen.
And did you have a fright when it happened?
No, there's a lot of things that happened even afterwards that the Lord did for me.
Is it?
It does. Amazing.
All right, quick question.
Yeah.
Did you think you were full of devils before?
Before, I didn't think I was full of devils. But then the first time my sister came to you and told me that there's this man who talks about devils and demons, I was so interested. I wanted to learn everything about demons.
Oh.
I just wanted to learn because I was in search for power.
Oh.
Power and I was searching in all the
But places. You were looking for occultic power. You weren't looking for God.
Exactly. It was all in all the wrong places. I wanted power.
Yeah.
But I wanted power to save people. Either way, but I never got the power, and that's how I became depressed.
Yes.
Because Satan likes using what you want the most to destroy you.
That's true.
He likes doing that. And what I want to say is that those of you who are lost, you're the closest to being found.
That's Amen. Well, let's put it this way. If the Lord could have mercy on you, the Lord can have mercy on anyone.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Guys, please give them a big hand. All right, seeing as I've already shown you these pictures, this is a young man that obviously was quite disturbed. He was looking for something, but he didn't know what he was looking for. I think a lot of us could relate to that. Now, I understand that you probably did not go and look for occultic power. You probably did not dabble in witchcraft or sorcery or whatever. But you see, the thing is, man, when we are brought into this world, when we are born in this world, we are born without Christ. We are born without a Savior. And even though we exist, we are not alive. You could only be alive when God fills your life. Which means that there is a void inside of you. Now, everybody is trying to fill that void in some way. Some people try and fill that void with alcohol. They try and drink as much as they can because their personality comes in a bottle. You understand? And the bottle makes them interesting. The bottle gives them, for at least a period of time, a piece about who they are and about their past. Some people try and find that void or a way to fill that void with immorality, sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, etc., etc. Some people try and fill that void with anger. They are angry with everybody everywhere. It's your fault that I have problems. It's your fault. It's, you know, always looking for fights. So anger begins to fill that void. Now, there is only one thing that can truly fill that void, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can fill the void. This young man was trying to fill a void with a lot of rubbish. He had a longing for the occult. He had a longing for power. Now, Satan knows every single man, every single woman on this planet has a longing for some kind of power. We want to be noticed. We want to feel that we belong. We want people to look at us and people to look up to us. The problem is, whatever Satan gives you will also destroy you. I need to remind you that the Word of God says that Satan is called the thief. It says in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10 that the thief came for no other reason than to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if you invite him into your life, if you ask him to help you, he will give you certain things, but it'll not be to give you peace. It'll not be to give you joy. It will not even be to give you power, because compared to God, he has no power. It'll just be to lure you into a deep dark pit of depression. I wish you could hear how many young people that dabble with the occult, that dabble with Wicca or with Kabbalism or with satanic rituals and voodoo and all of that type of stuff are all suicidal and they are all manically depressed. Because when these type of spirits come into your life, they came first and foremost to destroy your life. Jesus can fill that void. I'm going to show you, because we spoke about this, I'm going to show you another picture. This is quite vivid, it is graphic, and it could be quite scary. So I'm just going to warn you about that. Please go to the next slide for me. This comes from the other meetings that we do on Monday nights in Funabel Park. This is a covenant that a young girl made with Satan to be his slave, to give her life over to him. I don't know if you can read it, but I'm going to read to you what she said there. All the red that you see there is her own blood that she used to seal this covenant with. She writes there, "Vow of allegiance. My Lord and Master Lucifer, I," and then she gives her name, which I've blackened out, "hereby promise to serve and obey you, as well as this coven. From this hour, I renounce all other gods, including Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father." What does it say there, Eddie? "As well as all the churches of the above gods." That's it. "I also renounce my baptism and all prayers that are offered up for me. I also promise to recruit members to this coven. All this I swear to you this hour in the presence of your servants. Then she signed it. She's got the pentagrams, the upside down crosses, the 666. This is a young girl that went through exactly the same stuff that young man went through. She felt that she wasn't noticed. She felt that nobody cared for her. And Satan came and gave her a lie and said to her that I will give you that power. I will give you might. I will give you what you are looking for. And stupid as she was at that point in her life, she gave her life to Satan. We prayed for her on Monday night. I don't even know how many demons we cast out of her. It was scary to see the amount of evil spirits that came into her life. I'm going to show you another thing that she wrote. All right, I think most of you can see there, on the top there, written back to front is the word Satan, murder, and then suicide, suicide, suicide. What did I say to you? That where Satan is and where his demons are, the Bible says he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The only reason why every single Satanist on this planet has not yet committed suicide is because God has had mercy on them. Because even though right now they are serving Satan, God still has a godly plan for their lives, and he will not allow the enemy to just take their lives. Then she goes on and she says, I will pay the ultimate price for my master. I will give myself fully. Life has no purpose anyway, and what he has waiting for me is greater. More power, more drugs, more, more, more. I want more. I will get more. I have the power. Yes, if you serve the evil one, you will get more. More problems, more death, more destruction. But you will not get peace. You will not get joy. And you will not have life. Because, my friend, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say to you that life only comes through God. The Holy Spirit is the one that releases life into our spirit so that we can begin to live life. Jesus said, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Last slide for me, please, from the same girl. Dance with the Lord of the underworld and you dance with death. They all know it. But when you are serving the evil one, even though you know that you are dancing with death, even though you know that every day he's trying to take your life, you can't stop yourself because you become a slave. My friend, I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ doesn't want your soul so that he can enslave you. He wants your soul so that he can liberate you and set you free. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Why is all of this stuff relevant? Because there are a lot of people that go through the same stuff. No, they haven't signed their life over to Satan, but they feel just as hopeless as people involved in Satanism sometimes do, because they feel, like that young man said, that there is no hope, that it's probably better to die. And you know what? It's not better to die. Because when God placed you on this earth, he placed you here for a very specific purpose. When you came into this world, there was excitement in the heavens. God was excited about you because God knew that there was a godly ordained purpose for your life here. Yeah. Now the devil spends a lot of time chitty-chittying in people's ears, telling them how useless they are, how worthless they are, and how they amount to nothing. Listen here, just because the devil has that opinion about you doesn't mean you should have that opinion about yourself. And in any case, why on earth would you listen to that oak? Look at what he did with his wisdom. He bought himself some prime property in the center of the pit of hell. Now listen, young man, somebody that made such a big mistake in his life, his wisdom makes no sense. Listening to him makes no sense. He's the one that tells us that alcohol will sort out all your problems. He's the one that tells us that suicide is the only answer. He's the one that tells us that, listen, you know what, your wife, she's just not good enough for you. That puppy there on the other side of the street, she's much better for you. You'd rather just go in there and you know what? You'll have a much better life. No, you won't have a much better life. You will curse yourself. And later on in life, you will wonder, why is everything going wrong in my life? Why have I got so much problems? He's the one that says to us, you know what? You're not coping on your own. But if you take a little bit of acid, or you take a little bit of weed, or you snort this, or you inject yourself with that, everything's going to be fine. And we all know that nobody's life is fine when you take that path. It is a path of destruction. But there is hope. And the hope does not come in pill form. The hope does not come in little bottles. The hope does not come in syringes. The hope does not come through any of that stuff. The hope comes through the hope living in you, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. And let me tell you something. Please go back to that first, the covenant that the girl made with Satan. Do you notice all the blood there? Who shed that blood? She did. Isn't that amazing? that Satan always expects his servant to shed their blood. But what does he shed for anybody? Nothing. You see, I prefer to serve the God that was willing to shed his blood for me. Which means I don't have to shed blood. Nobody has to shed blood. Because blood is always necessary to bring about a covenant. In biblical days, whenever God made a covenant with man, there was always blood involved. And that is what Satan is trying to do here. He wants to strengthen the covenant by that person putting their blood as a seal. The Bible says the life is in the blood. Therefore, when she puts her blood on that thing, it is like she's giving her life over to him. Now here's the difference. Satan expects you to do everything. Jesus doesn't really expect you to do much because he's already done everything. He hanged on that cross. He suffered. He was tormented. He was tortured. He was butchered. You know, the Bible says that there was no place on his body that was not desecrated. The blood was flowing from his head. It was flowing from his chest. It was flowing from his back. It was flowing from his arms. It was flowing from his legs. Why? Because every last drop of that blood was needed to seal a new covenant between God and man. A covenant of God's grace to bring about salvation. So that no longer would man have to walk around and worry about tomorrow, worry about the past, worry about today. Because when Jesus comes into your life, Jesus comes to give you new life. Every last drop of blood had to flow from his body because the Bible says the life is in the blood. And as every last drop of blood flowed out of him, he willingly gave his life for those that would put their faith in him. Our young people are involved in a war because this type of rubbish is alive and well and out there, and it's trying very hard to get to them. It's not just our young people that are at a war right now. The Bible says our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Satan right now is the proverbial roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says we must resist him standing firm in our faith. Satan wants to destroy. Jesus wants to give life. But choice is necessary. In every person's life, who will you allow in your life? And you see, my friend, the thing is, we need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for people to be set free. We need to pray for people to experience God's love, to experience God's peace, to experience God's joy, to experience salvation. Salvation means that the Spirit of God comes into your life. You surrender your life to God. You give your life to Jesus and you say, Lord, I realize that you gave your life so that I might receive that very life. So please take my old life. I receive the new life that you give me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And from this moment on, Lord, I know that I am a new creature in Christ. And from today, I will never be the same again. You know what I appreciated from Grace's testimony? Is the fact that people around her can see that she is no longer the same person. Man, when Jesus comes into your life, how can you stay the same? When the Spirit of God begins to work through you, how can you stay the same? And if you are still the same, then I'm asking you, I'm seriously asking you, have you really met him? Because when you meet him, and when you give your life to him, then he begins to live through you. And then everything changes. So here's what I would like us to do. Please take hands with the people around you. Let's pray. You don't have to do the praying. I'm going to pray. But let's pray. Let's pray for our young people. Let's pray for those that have been caught in the snare of the evil one, who right now are experiencing the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's pray that they will meet the Savior, that they will meet the Healer, that they will meet the Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's as alive right now as he was the day when he gave his life on the cross. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Lord and our Lord and Savior, and your Son, I want to thank you for every person that is here tonight. I honor you, Lord, that you have brought them here for a very specific purpose. And I honor you, Lord, for their loved ones and for their family. Father, I know that right now the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. But I also thank you, Lord, that right now the Lion of Judah is awake over his children and over those called for his name, according to his purpose. Lord, we want to pray for the young people in this world. We know, Lord, that the enemy is very busy trying to pervert their lives, trying to destroy their lives. And Lord, they are the next generation that have to stand up and make a difference in this world. Father, please have mercy on them. And Lord, as we have heard two testimonies tonight of a young man that was miraculously set free and a young girl that was miraculously set free, so Lord, we pray that those that are in bondage right now will experience liberation by the power of the Spirit of God. That the living water through the people that are sitting here tonight will begin to flow into people's lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the powerful move of your Holy Spirit to set people free. I thank you for this. I honor you for this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. God bless you. We are speaking about the Holy Spirit. What happened in Mark's life is he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came into his life, the Holy Spirit changed his life. How did the Holy Spirit come into his life? Through his sister. Now you see, Jesus made the following statement in the book of John chapter 7 verse 37. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him or her come to me and drink. And if you receive the water that I give you, streams of living water will begin to flow from within you and you will never thirst again. Now that is very important because you see, when we are dealing with the real thing, when we are dealing with the Spirit of God, the Bible says He will not just fill you with His Spirit so that you can have plenty. He will fill you with His Spirit so that those around you can also have plenty. Why? Because the water doesn't just enter you, it also begins to flow out of you. Now that is what needs to happen in Christians' lives. What good is it that the water, the living water of the Holy Spirit is inside of you, but it is only for yours? It's only for yourself. Come on. How many of you have experienced God doing a miracle for you in some way? Just raise your hands. Well, bless God for that. Now, how many of you understand that God wants to do the same thing, not necessarily exactly the same thing, but there are other people out there that need the same touch of God? If anything happens, it happens because of two things. Well, there's probably more, but let's just say two things that I want to look at tonight. Number one, there has to be anointing. Number two, it moves by the Holy Spirit. Whenever God changes something, whenever God initiates something, whenever God does something, He does so by the Holy Spirit, and without anointing, the Holy Spirit doesn't move. So what happened in Mark's house, when his sister walked in there and began to anoint the house, the anointing began to attack the demons inside of him. The living water was flowing from her into that house, and there were a couple of demons that started drowning. How's that? Well, bless God. Demons can't swim. And they can't breathe under Holy Ghost water. So they die. They come out. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful? How's this? Now, just bear with me. You know that boss of yours that always gives you such a hard time, always picking on you, always giving you a hard time? You can never do nothing right. Always irritable and cranky. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you, you've got good bosses. God bless God for that. But that boss is always cranky and always giving you a hard time. And now God pickles you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism in the Holy Spirit actually just means to be pickled in the Holy Ghost. You know, like you make pickles? You take that little gherkin and you put it in that vinegar solution and you leave it there for quite a while. And then when you take a nice bite out of it, your gills go all funny. And yeah, you've got the flavor of all that vinegar and all the spices. Now that's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, to be filled and saturated with the Spirit of God to the point that you are pickled with the Holy Ghost, and that when somebody was to look, they no longer really see you, but they see the Spirit of God in you because the two of you become one. And so now you walk back into that office and you are so pickled in the Holy Ghost that God has released that stream of life inside of you and it begins to flow. And so while you're sitting there, like a real good worker, the water begins to flow. And those devils in that boss of yours begin to have a serious stress because you see, there are no life rafts. They're going to drown. And what if the boss and the cleaning lady and the person sitting opposite you and all of those people suddenly begin to experience something that they have never experienced before?
Amen.
They begin to feel the presence of God. They begin to feel, the Bible says the wind blows where he wants to. They begin to feel that sweet anointing of the breath of God begin to blow on them. And the cobwebs begin to disappear. The frustration, the anger, the irritation, the irritability begins to go. Some of them begin to cry. Some of them begin to call out to God. Some of them come and say to you, listen, what is so different about you? What has God changed in your life that has made you such a better person? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Come on. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's exactly what God wants to do. You see, my friend, the wonderful thing is God chose you and I to go and change this world. The problem is a lot of people are really trying very hard to change the world, but in their own strength and in their own power. And that is why the world isn't changing. Right now, if you want to know what's going on, Islam is changing the world. Not for the better, I'm sorry. It should be you and I changing the world. That's God's destiny for our lives. Can you do it? You can't do it alone. But can you do it if God works through you? Yes, you can. Amen. Yes, you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest upon man's wisdom, but on God's power. The Apostle Paul speaking, being a very learned man, knowing the Bible back to front, having been a Pharisee, loving to argue and reason about scriptures, etc., etc., comes to a point in his life that he understands that his human wisdom is useless when it comes to God changing people's lives. Your wisdom can change nobody. Human wisdom is one of the most fallible things that there is. Because human wisdom can build a car today, but it can build a bomb tomorrow. Human wisdom can save a life today, but it can destroy thousands through an act of terrorism tomorrow. So if you want to put your faith in human wisdom, you are stupid. Because you never know whether it had a good day or a bad day when it came into your life. But if you begin to put your faith in God and in the Holy Spirit, now then you are going to begin to see changes. Paul says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. In other words, I refused to preach to you the wisdom that was inside of me. I refused to show you my phenomenal IQ. I refused to dazzle you with big words. Because I understood one thing. My preaching needs to be in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom. The Bible says faith will save you. But you see, you have to understand that there are a lot of different types of faith. There are some people out there that have faith in, let's think, the Dalai Lama. And they really do have faith in him. There are some people out there that have faith in Shiva. And they really do have faith in her. There are other people out there, they have faith in Krishna. And they really do have faith in it. Will that faith save them? No. So where must your faith be? Your faith must be in Christ. And this is what he says. So that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. It is faith in God. And now he says this. He says, when I came to you, I did not just want to preach you a good message. I did not want to just share with you some nice human wisdom. When I came to you, I came specifically so that the Spirit of God can work through me and so that God's power can be demonstrated in you, through you, and around you. So that when you choose to believe, you will believe in what God says, not in what I say. Now, there are numerous ways that the Holy Spirit demonstrates God's power through his servants. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Listen carefully. He called out his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority. That is very important. Because in the spirit world, it is authority that counts. Everything is about authority. When we speak something, it is the authority behind us that will bring that which we speak into being. If there is no authority behind us, let me give you an example. If Let's take America. We all know that America is a very powerful country. They are a very powerful nation. And you must be stupid if you go and mess with them. You know, like if South Africa was to declare war against the United States, then I reckon we should all just rather immigrate because there's big problems coming. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let's just say that the ambassador of the United States is with our president. And he's been sent there to give our president a message. Is it the ambassador's message, or is it a message given through the ambassador but under the authority of the president of the country? Come on. Is it the ambassador speaking, or if he comes representing his country, is it now the country speaking? Now it's the country speaking. Even though it's a man, the man represents something much more powerful than what he is in his own, in his flesh. Now that is how it works with you and I. When we begin to serve Jesus Christ and we receive his authority, then when we begin to speak, we no longer speak as Rion or as Pete or Sonny or Jackie or Lindy or whatever. We begin to speak as those ordained by God by the power of the Holy Spirit to represent the kingdom of God. Which means that the chochos out there have to start listening. Amen. Now Jesus says, listen to this. He's speaking to his disciples and he says, I give you authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Now there are two things there that I find very interesting. Jesus calls them to send them out on their own. And he says to them, listen here, when you go out, understand something, you have authority. That is important because a lot of people these days don't realize that they do have authority. There are a lot of people, the devil is messing with you. He's walking all over you. He's stealing from you. He's robbing you blind. And you're doing nothing about it because you don't realize you have authority. Every child of God, every disciple of Jesus Christ has a godly authority. But authority is only authority if we choose to use it. And they had to do two things. They had to go and set captives free, and they had to go and pray for the sick to be healed. Then we look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Listen to what Jesus says. The first time he spoke about his disciples and he says, you go out, I give you authority, go and do this, go and do this. The second time he says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Let's stop right there. Let me ask you a very straightforward question. When Jesus says those who believe, what is he talking about? Is he talking about those who believe in Buddha? Is he talking about those who believe in Krishna? Is he talking about those who believe in positive thinking? So what is he talking about? Believe in what? Jesus. Believe in him. Believe that he's the Son of God. Believe that he is the Savior. Believe that he can forgive you for your sins. Believe that he can save you and set you free. Now how many of you really believe that? Come on, just wave at me. How many of you believe that? So listen to what he says. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Now look at somebody and say, that's me. Now look at somebody else and say, that's you. In my name, they will drive out demons. You see, Jesus is sending disciples out to go and convert this world. And one of the first things, in fact, the first thing that he says is, you better understand something. When you go out there and you preach my gospel, something will try and stop you. What do you do when something tries to stop you? You tell him to futsak. Amen? Why? Because we've been given authority and we are told to use that authority. Is it hard work to preach the gospel? You better believe it. You better believe it. How many of you can watch TV till late at night? Come on. Okay, I understand some of you can't watch TV till late at night. You like my father. The TV has a very hypnotic effect on him. You switch it on and he goes to sleep. It's like instant. You know, you can actually time him. Switch the TV on. One, two, three, boom, he's out. You know? But the point that I'm trying to make is quite simple. We can force ourselves to watch TV till late at night. No problem. We can force ourselves to read a good book. In fact, you don't have to force yourself. You want to read a good book. But when it comes to going out and preaching the gospel, it becomes ever so much more difficult, doesn't it? When it comes to reading your Bible, it becomes a schlep. You know, when you think of Wilbur Smith, I don't know what his latest book is, whatever it might be, but when you think of Wilbur Smith, you get all excited. Man, I'm going to read that book. Yeah, I'm in such a very interesting place right now. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. You think about reading the Bible and you think to yourself, well, I should be reading the Bible, but you know what? Yes, I haven't serviced the car in about 2 years. Maybe I better just do that quickly first. Yeah, I'll do that quickly. And then yesterday, you know what? My wife has been asking me to fix the gutters now for about 2 years. I better go and do that. Isn't it amazing how when it comes to the things of God, there's always something else, even something that you didn't like to do, that's suddenly much more important. Why? Because there is a war going on. Somebody doesn't want you to know the truth. Somebody doesn't want you to hear the truth. And somebody doesn't want you close to God. And Jesus says, when you go out and you encounter them, chase them away. They will speak with new tongues. Now, we're not going to get into the whole tongue thing tonight. But let me just say to you, I don't know what church you come from. Some churches don't believe in speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is biblical. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's biblical. You can't take certain pages out of the Bible and accept other pages because they make sense to you. The things of the Spirit of God don't always make sense, but that doesn't mean that they are not true. All right? The world says some people can't change. You get that person to really meet Jesus and I promise you they will change. It doesn't make sense, but it works. Jesus spit on a guy's tongue once and the oak began to speak. How many of you want to volunteer that I spit on your tongue quickly and we'll see what happens? Actually, I wouldn't like to spit on your tongue because you'll probably clap me or something. It doesn't make sense, but it works. Hello? It doesn't make sense, but it works. And so, tongues is the same. Maybe some other night I'll teach you a bit more on that, but you know, just because somebody in your church thinks that it's talking Chinese or told you that it's rubbish or your grandfather didn't believe in it, don't you fall into that trap. When the Word of God says that we can speak in new tongues, you can speak in new tongues. But you can't do it in your own strength. It happens to people when they are filled with the Holy Spirit and that living water begins to flow out of them. Then something happens inside of them and the words that start coming out, they don't sound like the words I'm saying now. Maybe one day you're sitting and you're praying and you're really praying and you're really seeking God and you experience something happening in the next moment. Hey, wow, what on earth just happened there? The Lord released a fountain of life. Amen. What did I just say? Well, you shouldn't be too worried about what I just said because I didn't speak to you, I spoke to God. You don't have to eavesdrop on what I'm saying. I'm saying that because some people, when somebody speaks in tongues, they think to themselves, nah, this is not right, you know. I used to be like that. In the beginning, when I just got saved and the Lord filled my life and everything was going on, I used to hear a lot of people speak in tongues. And then somewhere in the Bible, I'd read these things have to be interpreted. And I think, yes, this must be a sect, you know. These acts, they're not interpreting these tongues. I'm not going to stay. I'm going to duck. But you see, that was just my own stupidity because I didn't understand how these things work. There are tongues that have to be interpreted. When the gift of tongues manifests and it is spoken over a congregation, it needs to be interpreted, yes, because God wants people to know what He's saying to them. But you see, the thing is, when somebody under worship just begins to pray in their tongue or sing in their tongue, they are not speaking to you, they are speaking to God. Just like when me and this woman are talking, it's not good, it's not polite for you to come and eavesdrop and then say, yeah, what's going on here? No, go. Okay. Stand that side. It's between me and her. When we speak in tongues, we speak to God. They are real. And then the Bible says this. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Wow. We know it's biblical. We know that in the Bible, I believe it was Paul or somebody was bitten by a serpent and he just shook it off and he went on and the whole island got converted because of what happened. let me just put it to you this way. I've heard of people that take this very literally. I read of a young man once who caught some rattlesnakes in America, and he put them in a cage, and he was going to show people that he has faith. And he put his hand in there, and he got bitten, and he nearly died. Let me just say that when the Bible says you will pick up snakes, it needs to be under divine guidance, you understand. If God didn't send you to pick up that snake, don't try and mess with it. All right? Because they are poisonous and they do kill. But maybe, you know, maybe some way God directs you to do something, and if you are 100% certain you've heard from Him, that's fine. They will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. All right, now, in other words, there are a lot of things that could happen in a disciple's life if the Spirit of God is working through that person's life. And they are all supernatural. Let's check them again. Number one, they will drive out demons. Whenever a demon is cast out, the Bible, the word that is used when evil spirits are cast out is the word dunamis. What does that remind you of? Dunamis. Dunamis. Dynamite, that's it. The word dunamis reminds you of dynamite because that's literally what it means. It is an explosion of power that is released, and it is the word that indicates a miracle taking place. Every time that Jesus cast out a devil, the Bible says that the dunamis of God did it. So it's a supernatural act. The second thing, they will speak with new tongues. You know, a lot of people don't really understand the whole tongues thing, but let me just say again that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you are not speaking out of your mind, you are speaking out of your spirit. So the words don't come from up here, they come from inside here. And nobody teaches you that language. That language is just suddenly deposited in your spirit. That is supernatural. How many of you have ever tried to learn another language? Let's see. You tried to learn French or... Okay, I'm going to say respectfully that when I was at school, they tried to teach me Northern Sotho and Zulu and all of that type of stuff. I can say Dumela. I can say Ukai. And that's about as far as it goes. Because it was difficult. I didn't understand most of the times. I spent how many years at school and that's what I've got left. So it's difficult. But when God gives it, in one instant, boom, a whole language is released in somebody's spirit. That is supernatural. Then we have the next one. They will pick up snakes with their hands. In other words, when a serpent bites, the serpent won't kill. Now, some of us might think, well, you know what, that's not such a big deal. You tell that to that person that was bitten by a viper that can kill in 5 or 10 seconds, and the person is still walking around an hour later, 2 hours, a week, 3 weeks later. Why do you think everybody on the island got saved? Because they were waiting for the man to die and he never died. And they knew that that was the miraculous power of God at work. They will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt them at all. Well, that's really supernatural. You know, there are some deadly poisons out there. I would not want to test this one personally myself either. All right. I'm trusting God for the others to manifest in my life. And, well, let's just see where that goes. And then they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. They will get well. How does the get well work? It works in different ways. It says there they will get well. Now, some people get well instantly. In other words, a miracle takes place. Some people get well over a period of a week or a month or whatever the case might be. But what this implies is that there was a supernatural power released by the person that prayed for that individual, and it was that which saved or that which healed, and not the medicine, the power of God. Now, for all of you that rose your hands just now and said, yes, I do believe. Well, my friend, if you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you do believe that He is your Savior, if you do believe that He has come into your life to save you, to set you free, if you do believe that He has empowered you with His Holy Spirit, then He has called you to begin to live a supernatural life. Because the things mentioned here are all supernatural. Amen. Let me just see how I am doing for time. Oh, my time is up. Now, if you look at the scriptures that I just gave you, Matthew 10, Mark 16, I'm going to give you another one, John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. These are not my words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now, you heard Mark stand here earlier and say that before he did not believe in God, he did not believe in the word of God. Now, because he met the healer, he met the Savior, he met the Redeemer, in his heart, he knows the word of God is real. Some people question the validity of the word of God. You only question the validity of the word of God if you don't know the word himself. The word is not a book, the word is a person. His name is Jesus. If you really want to understand the word of God, meet the man himself, and the word will become plain. And he says in his word, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these. Anyone who believes in me will do what I have done. Have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Have you seen some of the awesome things that Jesus did? I mean, some of those things are just plain scary. And he says to us in his word, you know what? If you believe in me, you will do these things and you will even do bigger things. Now, me personally, I'm going to be very honest with you. My intellect is too small to grasp the bigger things. I couldn't even think what they are. I'm happy that the word of God says that I can do these things, that God will have to reveal them to me in his time. But for now, I'm excited to know that I can do what he did. I'm excited to know I don't have to be afraid of the devil. I can tell him to foot sack and he must go. I'm excited to know that if somebody is diagnosed with somebody and the world says this and this and this and this, then I don't have to worry about that. I can put my faith in him because there is no situation that he cannot change. I'm excited to know that the same supernatural power that was inside Jesus that gave him the ability to do these things, he says clearly, is also available to me. That excites me. Now, if you honestly look at all of these scriptures, then it is very plain to see that when Jesus spoke, he never intended that the ministry that he started should stop. He intended that the ministry that he started, a ministry that set people free, a ministry that healed the sick, a ministry that gave people answers, that gave people hope, a ministry that brought salvation to people, that ministry should continue from generation to generation to generation. Unfortunately, it looks like we've missed the plot somewhere. You see, it's entirely possible, according to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit could equip a believer to do exactly what he did. Jesus gave people something to believe in. Paul says, I want to give you something to believe in. I don't want to just talk. I want to give you something to believe in. Jesus expects us to give people something to believe in. And what they must believe in is the power of God. And he wants us to do exactly the same as what he did. All right, my time is up for tonight. Did anybody learn anything tonight? If you learned something tonight, it's because you met the Word. You had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he opened up his Word to you. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And the good news is, if you have met and had an encounter tonight with the Word, then there are wonderful things in store for you. Because when Jesus comes into your life, the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God comes into your life. Amen. Now, in this week, you go meditate on what the Lord spoke into your heart tonight. We're going to give you the CD with last week's message on. You go and listen to it. You go and listen to it and you meditate on what the Lord is saying to you. And as that word begins to fill your being, as that word begins to flow through you, it's going to do something inside of you because the word of God says, and the truth will set you free. Amen. It doesn't mean that you're full of devils. You don't have to be full of devils to not really have freedom. There's a lot of people out there that don't have freedom. God wants to give us freedom. Freedom to be yourself. Freedom to love Him. Freedom to express your love for Him. You know, one of the problems that a lot of Christians have is that they do believe in God, but they are like 007. They are undercover. You know, man, I can't show the people at the office that, you know, I'm a believer. You know? No, you should be showing them. There's some of them that need what you've got. So the Lord wants to set you free. You know, there's that song, it's a gospel song. I am free to dance. I am free to sing. I am free to love. Huh? Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise Him. I just want to praise Him. Man, how is it that we go to church? You know, a lot of people go to church, but when it comes to praising God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the great I am, it looks like they are bound and chained in shackles. If you just sing too loud, somebody will give you the evil eye. Huh? Come on. God wants to set people free. And the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. Guys, that is it for tonight. As you are standing there, please just raise your hands and receive God's blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for these people that are here tonight, and I bless them in your mighty name. I bless their lives. I bless their marriages. I bless their finances. I bless their relationships. I thank you, Lord, for godly breakthrough in their lives. I thank you, Jesus, for the word of God that has filled them in this night. And I thank you for the process of freedom. I thank you, Lord, for liberty. I thank you, Lord, for victory. And I bless them with it now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.